Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, first of all, we're going to have show and tell first. Get that over with.
I've got two items here, A and B. We're going to assume these are serious chains. I mean,
right.
I'm too cheap to get out and purchase chains. A and B.
Okay.
Why don't you just notice the difference between the two chains? Take some, pass them around, we'll
use them at the end of the class. Comment a moment at that time. In fact, I think I left part of them here. Anyway, I appreciate the presence of all, especially those that are visiting with us, and my intent is to give us some information that's scriptural.
All right.
I understand that they didn't have thermometers back in the old days, and so I don't know that they had to wear ties back then, so I took the liberty.
That's all right.
We're going to look at the Galatian letter, all right, but we're going to look at how we got to the Galatian letter first.
Okay.
And go from there. And I should have had some instructions on this. Okay, we're going to look at Acts. When I spent a weekend trying to put together a presentation and... like they say, when things go wrong, they go wrong. So we'll use what I've got here. I want to just look at the preparation for Paul's going to and writing to the Galatians. We remember that in the 13th chapter of Acts, we see his first preaching tour. And we see that he visited those areas in Galatia there, Perga and Pamphylia in the 13th chapter, about verse 13, Antioch of Pisidia in the 14th verse, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and the cities of Lycaonia. Then we also see, in Acts 15, we see the letter that the council there in Jerusalem wrote to those in Antioch concerning something they had discussed. And they wrote a letter there in chapter 15 and 22 and following, where they were to abstain from meats offered to idols, blood, and things strangled, and fornication. They addressed that to those there at Antioch. Then we see in the Acts 15th chapter through verse 6 of 16, we see the preaching tour of Paul, where he and Barnabas began the tour, but wound up choosing Silas, and he went back through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and at that time, Timothy was with him at that time. And then in his third tour, I call it a preaching tour, 18, 20 through 23 was his final tour, and he goes back to that area again. And so this is individuals and congregations that he had established during this time of Acts. And so we see then the efforts that he made were good, and then he addresses the problems that they have in the first part of the Galatian letter. And but we want to hone in on some other things concerning the legalism of the Old Testament. And we see part of that in the Galatian letter, where it speaks of the bondage that we're under in the Old Testament, and that the freedom that we have in the new law, Christ's law. We see then in Leviticus, when you look at that old law, you want to spend some time learning about the old law spend your time with the Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and you'll see the challenges that was put upon them during that time, and we appreciate our being free from that. When we look at the things that they were involved with, Leviticus deals greatly with the priests of that time, in particular Aaron and his sons, and we see the addressing the holiness of God in Leviticus. We see addressing those things as the what was clean and unclean. We see the sacrifices, such as the burnt offerings, the grain offering, the meat offering, and peace sacrifices, atonement, and then instruction to, like I said, to Aaron and his sons. Then if you go to Deuteronomy, we see there Moses in the about the fourth chapter, and through the balance of the book, we see Moses' instructions to the Israelites at that time. And we see the challenges that, especially the daily things that had to be done just to eat, and the restrictions and encouragement that was needed to just go through a day, especially when there may be someone in our audience who may or may not be exposed to their own gathering of food. When I was a child, we actually butchered animals. And it took a lot of dexterity just to provide just butchering any animal, much less the sacrifices that these individuals had to do. So we understand the preparation that was needed for just the sacrifices at that time. We also will look at Hebrews, and we'll see the comparison there between the covenant and a better law of Christ. We notice that as we look at the Hebrew letter, we'll see the word better is about 13 times, and that the word covenant, a better covenant, is there about 21 times. And we see the comparison, and the Hebrew writer emphasizes the fact of a better covenant through Christ. And then as we get down to the Galatian letter, then we also see emphasis on the legalisms that were noted in the Galatian letter and the freedom that we have under Christ. One thing we want to look at is that Christ's law, we often don't realize that when we speak of the law, we often speak of the law of Moses, but Christ also has laws, and we'll see if anyone would like to look at the, turn over to the fifth chapter of Matthew through about the seventh chapter, and we'll see the Sermon on the Mount, where he mentions such things as in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men. In the 48th verse of that same chapter, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father was perfect. We see what is called the golden rule in chapter 7. We see of the wise men also in that chapter, about verse 24, the wise men that built upon the rock. We see in the 16th chapter of Matthew, for the confession of Peter concerning that Christ was, that thou art the Christ. We see in John 3, verse 5, except a man be born again. We see in Acts, the 9th chapter, of Paul's conversion. We see in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 and following, the Lord's Supper, the instructions there, part of Christ's law. Also in Revelations 2 at verse 10, the instructions to be faithful throughout our lives. And then in Galatians chapter 6, we're going to look at that in more detail. But we always also think of the things that that Christ said in a positive light. He also gave us some thoughts concerning the negative things, such as in, again, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 33, about taking oaths, a condemnation concerning oaths there. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, he warned against such things as our attitude when we give, in our prayer, in our fasting, and laying up treasures. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, 1 through 6, he talks about judges being judging one another. And again, in the final part of the wise man, house on the sand, where he built his home on the sand. So if we look now at the Galatian letter, and we see there, again, continuing with, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 6. Let's look at that for a moment. Ye who are spiritual, restore in a spirit of gentleness. And then in verse 2, bear one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. So here we see the mention of the law of Christ. In verse 6, we see the word communicate. And when you look at the word, and it's being defined in Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, it actually means, and I think Stan mentioned this Sunday, about it being a fixed or a definite time and season. And it's translated opportunity here in Galatians 10 and Hebrews 11 at 15. And we want to speak something about that as we go along here, about opportunity. In verse 9, as we've been studying, it says, not to lose heart, doing good. And while we have opportunity, do good unto all the household of faith. And when we look at a definition, though, of opportunity, Merriam Dictionary states that it is a favorable junction of circumstances. I want to emphasize that. A favorable junction of circumstances is an opportunity. Let's turn over to Luke 10. We'll read what I believe is probably the best example of an individual with an opportunity to do good. Luke 10, begin at verse 30. Let's begin back at, to get the thought. Let's go back to verse 25 to get the thought here. And the lawyer stood up and put him to the test, and he was speaking about Christ, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to them, You have answered correctly, so now do this, and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied and said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And so by chance, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and brought them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robber's hands? So what we want to look at is the word opportunity. Why do you think that maybe the priest or Levite might have avoided that one that was beaten? It's only a supposition, but you remember in the old law that they were prohibited to touch a corpse. Now, we don't know if this, maybe they didn't realize they were far enough away, didn't know if he was alive or dead, and went by. Maybe they didn't want to waste their time. It's hard to say, you know, but they passed on by anyway. They didn't spend much time finding out, did they? But the opportunity was made, in this case, to the Samaritan. Remember the definition of opportunity, a favorable junction of circumstance. He didn't seek this opportunity, did he? It just happened on him. It occurred to him while he was traveling. But what did he do? There's some action done. He bound the wounds, paid the inn, paid the denarii. What did he not do? He didn't pay for future victims, did he? He didn't ask if there was any others involved. He took care of the opportunity they had right then. Look also at back to Galatians, verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. That is a related verse to Matthew 18. Look back at Matthew 18. Beginning at verse 15 and following. If your brother sins, beginning at verse 15 of chapter 18 in Matthew, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or more with you, so that by mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be as you, a Gentile and a tax collector. Similar verses. Some we might want to look at that when we can compare the two. And that's the reason for the chain. I'm not sure where it ended up at. All right, let's look at the chain.
We as individuals and members of a body of Christ, kind of symbolism of us in a way.
You know, we're connected in a way, aren't we?
Yeah.
You notice that one of these was kind of puny.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at something here. If we place this down here, let's look at this as a, not puny, let's just say a new member. And these are members that have been around a while. Okay. My super glue didn't work too well. What if this is the problem with in catching someone in the error, and he's been here, he's a leader, and he's being reprimanded by one or two or three members that he comes together with? And suppose he's down here in the middle, he's been just sitting out there, been there for 30 years, and he's the guy that, okay, the point is, I've actually witnessed most of these situations over 50 years.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
Yeah.
When I was probably 5 or 6 years old, maybe younger, it's with the church over institutionalism. I saw families, two sisters, and their families split. And they took half the church with them. Both sides. I was just a little guy. And I was exposed to the problems. But, it, you know, even young guys can understand.
That's right.
Also witnessed a preacher, moral problem, dissolves the whole congregation. Also witnessed a individual who was disciplined. We lost his family, his young kids. So it's tough. And so we have to be real careful with how we look at things. Has to be scriptural, and so sure enough, in verse 1 of 6, when it says, "When a brother is restored," that's a good thing. And so, I've just been in those cases where they weren't. So it's kind of tough to talk about because you know so many people that's involved in those things. So the consequences are there. But suppose that's a new member that needs to be restored, or one that's been there for a while. Anyway, the point is that. To bring it on home a little closer, and I had a picture of my original selection. Suppose we put let's just imagine you've got a 3 or 4 year old child here, and you got him a swing for Christmas. You're gonna put him on the swing with that on there?
Okay.
So that's the point. When he brings it home, that it gets that close, that if that weak member of that swing, and you see that, you know, the consequences that of a dangerous for a small child. When you see what it does also to individuals that are exposed to it, in other ways, and especially in the church. So What does it say about the weak link here? When we look at a weak link, and I had another picture on there, and you have these guys just like this, five of them. Guys are 250, 250, 250, and then 150, 250, and 250. So here they got the little guy. He's hanging between them. His feet aren't even touching the ground. We're supporting him.
Right.
The weak guy, we're supporting that guy.
Yeah.
So that's really the point I wanted to make is that we just need to be man up and do everything we can to support them when they need to be.
Amen.
And just keep encouraging them.
That's right.
And so we just don't want to be exposed to the things that the past 50 years have happened.
Exactly.
And so just keep on and do the best you can to be influential in a good way.
Amen.
And that's really the message. And I appreciate your time. I hope it's been beneficial. And there may be those who are subject to the invitation tonight, and if you are, we would invite you to come forward as we sing our invitation song.